Well, good morning, church. Next week will be our Vision Sunday, so we will be worshiping together in the sanctuary at 9 and 11. So we want to invite each of you to join us then. And I look forward to being a part of that as Pastor Doug sets our vision for the next year. Now, it's been, if we're honest, it's been a challenging year, hasn't it? To say the least, it's been a challenging year. Personally, it's been a challenging year probably for many of you too. That can be a bit of an understatement, honestly, if we talk about it being a challenging year. And in the midst of this challenging year, we've had lots of things happen, right? We've experienced crisis after crisis. And in many ways, it's been a difficult season. We've had to recover from the Easter tornadoes. Many of you were affected by that directly. And many of you have been affected directly by COVID. And it's been a difficult season. But what we've seen is that God has been faithful and He's worked. And as we enter into this message, which is a stewardship message, we wanted to show you as a staff and tell you guys some of the ways that God has been faithful. And so let's watch this brief video together as a way of showing and testifying to all that God has done in our midst, even in the midst of a greatly difficult season.
Hey, Richdale, today we just wanted to say thanks. You have been so faithful this last year in the midst of great crisis, been a great needs in our community, in our world. You have stepped up faithfully and given financially this year. And today we will let you see how your money's been used and say thanks for all you've done.
Because of your generous giving, Student Ministry was able to host a 3-day retreat over the summer where we saw over 75 students gather for worship with over 20 new guests present with us that weekend.
Because of your generous giving, we were able to care for our community through tornado and COVID relief with groceries, clothing, and over 200 gift cards.
Because of your generous giving, Ridgedale has been able to continue worshiping and to expand our online platform for worship to include others.
Because of your generous giving, we have been able to minister to children and families.
Because of your generous giving, 2 weeks ago, we gave out over 500 food boxes to 250 families right here at the church. And we're gonna do it again over Thanksgiving. We're gonna give out a Thanksgiving meal to over 300 families is what we're praying for.
Because of your generous giving, we've been able to serve over 40 college students, beginning with College Day in August, and have seen a couple of those students move forward in their faith through baptism.
Because of your generous giving, our Ridgedale seniors participated in disaster relief.
Because of your generous giving, we in Student Ministry are able to create a weekly gathering spot for students to connect in community and to worship together.
Because of your generous giving, we were able to continue to equip disciples through community groups and D groups, virtually and in person.
Because of your generous giving, Ridgedale has a School of Fine Arts in which hundreds of students are taught each year music as well as about Jesus Christ.
And because of your generous giving, the Ditch Debt Campaign is on track to fund a second mortgage principal payment to reduce the interest on the balance of the church mortgage debt.
Because of your generous giving, we have seen Encounter grow as a service. And through that, believers have grown each week through musical worship and also through preaching.
Because of your generous giving, we partnered with Second Baptist Church in the Highland Park community to impact over 250 families with 500 boxes of groceries and over 280 gift cards.
Because of your generous giving, we've been able in Student Ministry to create partnerships with both Howard High School and with Brainerd High School in our local Chattanooga area.
Because of your generous giving, we're able to partner with local organizations here in the city and church planters all over the world to advance the gospel.
Because of your generous giving, Ridgedale Choir and Worship Band have become, again, part of our worship in person.
Because of your generous giving, our Child Development Center and Community Kids and Camp Ridgedale continues to minister to hundreds of families throughout the year.
Because of your generous giving, the Ditch the Debt campaign has raised over $120,000 this year.
Because of your generous giving, we've been able to send one of our own students, Tyler Holloway, to one of our Southern Baptist seminaries. And we're raising up a new generation of young ministers through our internship program.
Because of your generous giving, we have ministered to close to 95 kids through Ridgedale Soccer Academy.
Because of your generous giving, we were able as a college ministry to meet each week throughout quarantine and the summer with online Bible studies for our students.
Because of your generous giving, the Ditch the Debt campaign was able to fund a special mortgage principal payment this year that significantly reduced the interest paid on the church mortgage debt.
Because of your generous giving and serving, we were able to give to Tennessee Baptist Disaster Relief, but we also went out with over 60 people for over 4 weeks caring for the tornado victims right here in the East Brainerd area.
Once again, thank you for giving to Ridgedale. You've allowed us this year to touch and impact many lives with the love of Jesus Christ. We appreciate you.
So have you seen, this is a way that we wanted to communicate all the ways that God has been faithful. And he's been incredibly gracious to work through us as a church. And we are grateful for you, church, and all that that you have been faithful to give. And even in the midst of difficult circumstances that we just talked about, God has worked. And so as this is where we've been. We review and see where God has worked and what he's done. This is where we've been. As we move forward, where we're going, it's important for us that we acknowledge that over the next year, the need won't be less. Right? The need will not be less. And as a church community, as we look at and tackle what stewardship looks like biblically through the life of a very young boy, as we look at the feeding of the 5,000, we see and notice that that we must and are compelled to continue to faithfully give, not just our money, but our time and our talents. And so the question isn't, will the need be less this year? In my opinion, the question that we must ask ourselves is, how can we be faithful in the midst of great need? In the midst of need that surrounds us in your family and in our community and certainly in our country, in the midst of all of the brokenness that we see, how can we be faithful? And that's what we want to communicate this morning. We want to look at how we can be faithful in the midst of great need. So look with me at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And as you turn there, what we're going to find is we're going to look at a story of a young boy, some confused disciples, but a great Savior. So Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. And when you get there, say word. Been waiting a while to say that, so I'm excited about it. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Well, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, while this passage is primarily about Jesus being the Son of God, that this is a testament to who Jesus is, there are lessons that we can learn actually along the way, important lessons that we can learn along the way about stewardship and how we can be faithful in the midst of great need. And so what I really want us to take away this morning is this, that Jesus is our true provider and our provision. Jesus is our true provider and our provision, which compels us, because that is the case, that compels us to put our faith into action. If Jesus is our provider and our provision, that these two things should propel us to put our faith into action, even in the face of great need. And that's what as we parachute kind of down into the middle of Matthew, we parachute down into a moment of great need. And that's the first thing that we see in verses 13 through 15. As we see the great need. Look with me again at verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now they were in this desolate place, and it was evening. And the disciples said, send them away so that they can buy food for themselves. So we see this multiple levels of need. And the first thing that we see is as we enter into this time in Jesus' life is now, it says, now when Jesus heard this, he went away. Now what is that talking about? Well, if you look at the immediate context, he's talking about the fact that he heard that his good friend John the Baptist had just been beheaded. That's a difficult truth for us to understand. This was a difficult moment and season in Jesus' life. And in the midst of his mourning, Jesus and his disciples hop on a boat and begin to head toward Bethsaida. That's what Luke tells us. And so this is even a difficult season in Jesus' life. So let's learn a little bit about what it means to be faithful in the midst of great need here. It says that they were in need in multiple ways. That clearly the crowds had a spiritual need, because the book of Mark tells us that Jesus taught them for 3 hours, nearly until dark. It says that they had a physical need because Jesus healed their sick. But they also had another physical need, because they had been out in this deserted place without food. And so the need was great and overwhelming. The crowd, if you can imagine, as Jesus kind of and his disciples come to shore on this boat, is just imagine this hillside of 5,000, actually more than that, probably closer to 15,000 to 20,000 people, counting the women and children, on this hillside. Each of them looking and having raced around and beat you to the spot, because their need was so great. This is difficult. And so when we look at this text and when we look at the landscape of our city and our nation, we see great need, don't we? We see the crippling effects of poverty and homelessness and hunger. We see the crippling effects of a ravaging tornado. We see the effects of racism and racial injustice, of overwhelming debt, personally and as a country. We see broken families riddled with dysfunction and divorce. We see great anxiety. We see depression. We see the fact that the younger you are, the lonelier and more depressed you are in America. There's loneliness and discontentment. There's high suicide rates. We see the unborn being disposable. We see the immigrant being treated in inhumane ways. The effects of sin in our surrounding area seem to be overwhelming, don't they? It's a difficult time. Now, how can we be faithful as a church as we look forward? How can we be good stewards even in the midst of great need? Because as we will see with the disciples, and certainly in our own lives too, when there's too great a need, we almost are paralyzed. We can be paralyzed out of fear. We don't know which way to turn. But rather than seeing this large crowd as an inconvenience, we see next Jesus' great compassion for them. The thing that motivates Jesus is not obligation. It's compassion and love. Look with me at verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. So just imagine this hillside with unbelievable amounts of people. And he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So we don't just see the great need that's being unmet, but we see Jesus' great compassion. Now, his first reaction probably isn't what ours is if we're in a time of difficulty, in a time of mourning, and we come across a crowd that needs us. Now, you've probably been in a time in your life when you've come home after a long day of work, and the kids are going bananas, right? And they're asking you, Mom, I need this. Dad, like, what are you doing? Like, let's go play ball or something like that. And you're like, I've had enough, right? You've probably been there before. And in so doing, we often show what's really in our heart, and we have this great desire just to relax and have comfort and be convenienced. But what we see here is that the great need isn't convenient. But we see Jesus respond in a way that we often don't respond. He has compassion on them. Another way to describe this is a tender mercy. The word compassion in the language of the New Testament is actually a word that talks about the stomach being turned. Jesus had a Taco Bell moment in his stomach, and it hit him. And he was forced to have, he had compassion. But this was just a moment just like he has for us. It's the same compassion and love that brought him to earth in the first place, to die for our sins. Now, how are we to be faithful in the midst of great need when we see all of the brokenness that surrounds us? I think what's important for us is first to experience and look upon the compassion of Jesus. When we look at this story and when we look at the lives that are around us, what we don't need to first see, we don't need to first look at the crowd and say, man, we need to have compassion on them. Then we start doing things out of obligation. What Jesus calls us to, and I think the New Testament tells us, is that we experience the true love, mercy, and compassion of Jesus. God's grace changes our hearts and our lives when we don't say, look at the crowd. We say, I am the crowd. I was the one in great need. I am the one that had to have compassion given to me. I'm the one that needed grace. We will never have the compassion necessary to fulfill and be faithful in the midst of great need unless we experience the grace of God in our own lives. And so when we start feeling our heart being embittered, we must go back and look at the gospel afresh. We see Jesus' love and compassion. True compassion comes from a heart that is so grateful for what Jesus has done in our own lives and hearts. We can only be truly faithful to Jesus and to the gospel in the midst of great need if we experience the true compassion of Jesus and remember it in our own hearts and lives. Otherwise, what we do is out of obligation, not out of Jesus' compassion that we see here. So we see the great need and we see Jesus' great compassion. But as we look down at the story, verses 15 through 17, we also see the ordinary servants. Look with me at 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Well, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." We see these ordinary servants, don't we? We see the ordinary disciples of Jesus, the apostles of Jesus. And Jesus reveals again that the disciples need him. They look and kind of measure as it gets dark. They see that there's a great need. And they were within walking distance of a town. So naturally, the disciples said, just send them away. Let them go get something to eat. Now, I don't think they were trying to be rude. I actually think this was a form of compassion without faith. Compassion without faith is stunted. And so when we see them going to Jesus and say, "You need to send them away. They've got to go get some food." And then what we find is that there's this young boy, the book of John actually will show it, and we'll read it in just a moment. But what Jesus is saying here to them, because they're shocked, right? What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean? In the midst of great need, Jesus calls us to rely on his presence and his power. He says, "You give them something to eat." To show their insufficiency, they had no capability to give them something to eat. You and I, in and of ourselves, have no capability to meet all of the needs that are in our city and in our nation and in the world. We can't in and of ourselves take the gospel to the nations. We can't in and of ourselves meet the needs of brokenness in our city and in our families, can we? We're just ordinary servants. But Jesus is showing us something important here. Jesus is teaching that the disciples needed a lesson of responsibility. He's saying, don't send them away to another system or another provider. He's saying it is the call of the church to have compassion and to meet people's needs in Jesus' name and to share the gospel with them. But we see also with the disciples a natural inclination of deference. Our natural inclination as people is to say, send them away, let them meet their own needs, let them find another way to do it, right? The disciples were just, let them move along and do their own thing. And Jesus says, there's a lesson here that with me, you as the church are the ones that are called to meet the needs. In order to be faithful in the midst of great need, we have to own the fact that we have a responsibility as the church to meet the need. We can't defer that to other systems, even to the government. We as a church have to say, this is our responsibility to care for the poor. It's our responsibility to care for foster care kids. It's our responsibility to fight against racial injustice. It's our responsibility. It's not the government's job to do these things. It's our job as the church. Jesus is saying it's your responsibility. So how are we faithful in the midst of great need? We own the fact that it is actually our responsibility, and we don't say it's somebody else's job. Jesus calls us to do it. And so how do we do this in the midst of great need? It's tough, isn't it? But overwhelming need, just as the disciples show, should actually drive us not to paralyzing fear or incapability, but it should drive us to faith and to action. It should drive us to Jesus. It should drive us to show that we need the power and the presence of God to what he will do in just a moment, multiply the bread. That's what we need. And because as we see with everyday availability from his disciples, from you and I, even ordinary people like ourselves, God can break through and multiply our efforts. It doesn't take anything extraordinary from us because it's not about us. Jesus just desires for us to be faithful. When ordinary people call upon God, He can use us in ways we could never even imagine. But we have to rely and depend upon Him, and we have to own the fact that Jesus has called us to be the ones that meet the need, not to defer. Things can change, and let's be, as a church, people that meet that need. Let us be part of that change. So we see the ordinary servants, but then we see the little provision. The little provision. Look with me at verse 17. Then he said to them, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Now, John's version says something a little bit different, and I want to look there at that because it gives a little bit more detail in John chapter 6. John 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" And that's when Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." So there was this young boy that comes and says, there's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Not a lot. These would have been about the size of an O'Charlie's roll. So what are 5 O'Charlie's rolls and 2 essentially cans of tuna supposed to do for 20,000 people? But the little boy gives it to Jesus, and the disciples are like, "Well, this isn't going to do anything. Still, Jesus, you kind of need to send them away, right?" But let's focus a little bit as we look at faithfulness in the midst of great need. Let's look a moment as we look at stewardship to the little boy. Because here, in my opinion, lies one of the most important principles of this story in regards to stewardship. This little boy gave to the disciples what he had. Now, wouldn't it have been much easier for him to say, "I need to keep this for myself and my family"? Essentially say, "This is what we're going to eat. I don't know what all you people are going to eat, but that's not my problem." Right? I've got my 403B plan right here. I've got my nice savings account right here. I've got my extra pizza right here. Right? Like they've got all of these things. This is what he's saying. Like, it would have been easy for him to just simply say, this is ours. This isn't for you to use, disciples. This isn't for you, Jesus." But I think the little boy understood something about ownership that most of us, including myself, often don't. I think he realized that God had even given that to him to be a blessing. That God had even given something so small as 5 loaves and 2 fish to be a blessing. Listen, we don't own our time and money. God is the owner of all things, including our time and money. And he gives those to us to be a blessing, to be a channel through others. And so in the midst of great need, what we must all come to within our own hearts as we wrestle with God in this and how we best do this responsibly is that we must say, "God, you own everything I have. What you call me to give, I will give gladly. Even if that means you're calling me to sacrifice maybe what I would really like to hold back for myself." I think that's what the young boy teaches us. And how do we fight our desire to store like a squirrel does his acorns? We believe with Paul when he says God is able. Philippians 4, Paul says the basis for their giving is that God is able, meaning that what the young boy brought wasn't much, but God is able to provide for him and meet those needs for even him. that God is able and loving and caring and compassionate and is going to meet our needs. And so our giving is a sign and is a testimony and is a trophy to God's grace, because we say, okay, God, I'm not going to store up for myself. In the midst of great need, I'm going to be faithful and have compassion and meet the needs as I'm able, because I believe you are able to meet my need. So Jesus, the sufficient creator and savior, chooses to work through even means like a little boy with five loaves and two fishes. What he brought wasn't very much, but it was given to the right person. Let us bring what we have in confidence, even amidst our fears, because God is able. And so we see the little provision that's going to go a long way. We finally see in verses 18 through 21 our great God. Look with me at verse 18 again. He said, "Bring them here to me." Jesus would be the source of this, as he is the source of all things. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. So he prayed over the meal. And then he broke the loaves and gave them, who? To the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they even took up 12 baskets full of pieces left over. For us as a church, as we look to Jesus, we must realize that Jesus is our provider and our provision. He is the source of all things. He is the one that breaks and multiplies the loaves. Jesus is the one that meets our needs. And this is the beautiful thing about Jesus. When you come to him, is that you always leave satisfied. It says they were hungry, but then they ate and we're satisfied. Every time that we take of the bread of life, we come away satisfied. I think that's incredibly important for us to know. For us as a church, faithfulness in the midst of great need is faith in action. That we believe and trust in the Lord to take our insufficient means and insufficient and our own broken hearts and our own broken lives and multiply our efforts to use for his kingdom purposes. It's through sacrificial giving. It's through our gifts and passions serving the church. If you're a finance guy, it's using that ability to teach financial stewardship to the poor rather than being in cycles of poverty. It's helping them out of that. It's sharing the gospel. It's investing in schools through mentorship. It's praying for the lost. It's helping your elderly and widowed neighbor with lawn care. It's fighting for justice. It's simply meeting the need when we see the need. Jesus is giving us as a church a call and stewardship, is that we must take responsibility for our part. We must be faithful. How are we faithful in the midst of great need? We give ourselves to him. We give all that we have to him. And what we see is that Jesus is a true and good and merciful Savior that is our true provider and provision. Here's what we're asking. Next week, church, as we go into a Vision Sunday, we're going to have a harvest offering. And so we're asking you to give a one-time above and beyond offering that sets us onto a course that will further God's kingdom and further the efforts of our church to care. And so there's going to be a special offering next week that we invite you to prayerfully think about. And as we look at stewardship, we must remember that all that we have is the Lord's. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great compassion and mercy upon us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for that you've changed our lives with the gospel, that you died in our place, Lord. Lord, that you've forgiven us of our sins, that our debt has been paid. And so now, Lord, we don't live out of a sense of obligation, but we give and live out of a sense of gratitude for what you've done for us. And so, Lord, help us to fight the pangs of materialism in our hearts, that we want to continue to accrue more and more. Let us not be greedy, God, but let us be vessels of blessing. Let us give. Let us be good stewards of all that you have given us. God, give us compassion for those around us. Help us not to defer responsibility to someone else, but Lord, help us to take responsibility. We know that we cannot meet the needs in and of ourselves, Lord. And so we ask, as we bring it to you, Lord, would you be faithful to do what only you can do as our provider and provision? God, will you multiply our efforts? Just as, Lord, as you worked through the disciples to give the bread out to the crowds, God, will you use us as your disciples and as your church today? Help us to be the hands and feet of you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.